Today I want to talk about engagement. Engagement as the key to accelerating our success. Happiness, love, health, success. Those are the results of engagement. We engage with other people. We engage with things. We engage with concepts. We engage with projects. And we even engage with ourselves hundreds of times on a daily basis. We see engagement all around us. And you can see people in grocery stores engaging. Just imagine all of a sudden somebody is in the same aisle as you are, and they pick up an item, they look it over, look at the weight, look at the price, and they read the label, and then they either put it in their shopping cart or they put it back on the shelf. They're engaging with that particular item, trying to make a decision, trying to get the awareness as to whether they ought to keep it or put it back. You can see in the grocery store and pretty much any place else for that matter, people who are willing to make eye contact. That is, they're willing to engage with you and with others. So just notice that, and notice the people who are seeking to avoid eye contact. They're looking down. You go, okay. Next time you're in a grocery store, you can even notice the subtle signs. Let's take the signs of engagement when you're at the cashier. The cashier in our grocery store, Publix, which is excellent, the cashier is likely to make eye contact very briefly. And then, depending on whether the customer is willing to make eye contact, they're going to hold that eye contact longer. Otherwise, the cashier is going to make eye contact and then go about their business and start ringing things up. So you can see that this cashier is trained to engage to the level that is comfortable or appropriate as determined by the customer. The other night, Marianne and I went out. We were going to have a date night, and Marianne wanted to go to a couple of restaurants that we like, restaurant, bar kind of places. So when we walked into the first place, of course, the bartenders have to engage with us at least long enough to say, what would you like to have the drink? Or would you like to see the menu now? So they've got to do that. When I go into a restaurant or a bar, I always ask for the names of the people who are waiting on us. It's a bartender or a waiter or a waitress. I want to know those names because, frankly, I want to be able to engage with them. I want to be able to address them by name as the event or the evening unfolds. I actually will add the restaurant name into my iPhone in the contacts, and I will add in the notes section their names. So the next time I go in, before I walk into a restaurant, I can go to my iPhone, bring up that particular restaurant, and see the names as a refresher. So if they are there, I can engage with them more comfortably. I learned years ago with Dale Carnegie that the sound of a person's voice, or I'm sorry, the sound of a person's name is the sweetest sound in any language. So to be able to address somebody by name is, number one, respectful and engaging, and people respond positively to that. I know I do, and since the 70s, I have made that a practice. So the other night, on our date night, the first stop was the M Grill Waterfront Restaurant and Bar. Very nice place. Very nice place. We've been there a couple of times before. Marianne wanted to get there in time for happy hour. They have a wonderful appetizer that is really, really good. When we got there, there were only a few people at the bar, so we were able to engage for a longer period of time with the bartenders, Brian and Jennifer, because they were not yet busy. But we knew in a little while that was going to change. Interestingly, earlier in the day, I said to Marianne, you know what, I want to develop this idea of engagement, of how we engage our energy in when we deal with people or projects and so on. And so I made that comment, and then within the next half hour, 45 minutes or so, I was noticing the word engage and engagement in emails, in articles I was reading online, in some magazine that I picked up. I was like, oh, wow. Even in somebody's Facebook post talking about engagement. So let me go back to M. Grill. We're sitting there, and I position myself in these kind of places so my back is to the television. I don't want to see the TV. I find TV is almost like trying to steal my brain. It's certainly trying to steal my attention, and I don't want to be attracted to it. I want to be focusing my attention on Marianne or anybody else that we happen to be with. I don't want the TV to force me to engage with whatever it's is showing, typically some sports discussion or maybe even an event. So I sat with my back to the television so I couldn't see it. It was 40 feet away. And now there were a couple other people that sat three or four seats away from Marianne, and they sat down. It's like, okay, that's cool. And then another couple came in that sat on the other side of them, leaving a few seats in between. So I watched those four people, strangers to one another, start to engage. It was interesting. But then, in that conversation, all of a sudden, Marianne engaged with them. She added a comment to their conversation, and immediately, I felt uncomfortable. Now, I didn't hear what they were saying, and nor did I hear what Marianne added to the conversation. But I thought, wow, ooh. And I noticed my own discomfort, and I thought that was interesting, because this was what I felt. I was like, you can't engage like that. You know, you can't intrude on other people's conversations. Right? And I didn't say anything. I just squirmed in my seat. I thought, wow, this is interesting, these rules that I must have about what you're allowed to do with regard to extending your energy to other people. I thought that was cool. Now, it's very clear to me, from a personality standpoint, Marianne is much more willing to engage with other people at the drop of a hat. She doesn't really need anything. I need to have it very carefully orchestrated, it seems to me. So I thought, you know, when it comes to engagement, we basically, especially to initiate it, we basically have two choices: tell or ask. Now, clearly, we could reach over and touch somebody, but unless you know them, that's probably not a good idea. So we have tell or to ask. I clearly recognize that I prefer to ask a question as a way to engage. So, a little while later, another couple comes, and they sit between the first couple and Marianne. And I watched them. They ordered drinks. I heard what they ordered. And later on, when they were ready to leave, and we were nearing time to leave as well, I engaged with the man by asking him a question. I said, "Excuse me." He said, "Yes." "Can I ask you about your choice of drink?" He said, "Sure. I've heard you order Stoli vodka. Can you tell the difference between one vodka and another?" And then the conversation took off. He added in, he was really very eager to start sharing information. Even his wife on the other side of him added information. And so now we have this conversation going. And I thought, here's the message I got out of that process, maybe the learning point. Asking questions is a good way for me to engage with other people. If I want to initiate a conversation or make contact with somebody else, asking a question makes me more comfortable. So the next stop was another restaurant, bar, club that we belonged to. Officially, it's called Gordon's by the River. We don't call it by that name. We call it the Big Ass Fan. The first time we went to this restaurant, and it has an outdoor bar that's covered, and which is where we were sitting the other night and also where we sat originally, I looked up at the ceiling, and there is a fan that is 12 feet in diameter. And I said to Mary Ann, that is a big-ass fan. And then I kept staring at it because I'd never seen anything like that before. And you know the interesting thing is? The label of the company was on the motor of the fan, and it said, Big Ass Fan Company. I laughed. I said, I got to check this out. As soon as I got back home to a computer, I looked it up. I Googled that company. Sure enough, it is a company that makes really, really big fans, usually for warehouses and other large spaces like this bar and others, maybe a military installation and other places. I mentioned this to a friend who works for IKEA, and he said, oh, sure, IKEA has big-ass fans in all of its warehouses in the United States. That's how they keep the air moving and how they keep it cool. I'm like, okay, interesting. So in this place, we engaged. I smiled, said hello to the staff on the way in, and engaged with the bartender. He had an earring. I've seen him before. He's, I don't know, 45 years old, 40 years old. And I never noticed an earring, but he had an earring, a little diamond stud in the middle of the ear on the edge in the cartilage. I went, ouch, to myself. So, made me twinge just to look at it. You know, I have no problem with earlobes. In fact, I had a pierced ear. And so I said to Eric, I noticed your earring. He said, yep. And I asked a leading question. He said, it didn't hurt much. I had been drinking and I did it myself. I went, ouch. He said, no, it didn't hurt. What hurt was when I pushed a needle through my ear, it went right into my thumb, which is what I was holding the ear with. Now that hurt. And I said, ouch again. He said, no, the pain didn't last very long. In that place, because it is not, I'll say, as upscale as the M Grill, everybody wears name tags. I guess that doesn't really make it not as upscale, but it's an outdoor bar that seems like a throwback. Mary Ann says, you know, every time I come to this place, and we go there once every 6 months or so, she said, it's like a different place. It's like not Naples. It's not anywhere. It's just a different place. I said, I'm with you. I noticed that too. So there was a cute little waitress who was walking around. And so I could see she had a name tag on. Funny, I didn't even notice her name. But because they have their name and right below it, they have where they're from. Eric is from Michigan, and this girl was from Bulgaria. I said, excuse me. She stopped. I see you're from Bulgaria. I have a really good friend who's from Vermont who is from Bulgaria. She laughed and said, thanks for noticing. A lot of the people around here think Bulgaria is my last name. At that, both of us laughed. The message I got from these interactions was, after slowing down or stopping motion by, you know, excuse me, and telling some sort of connecting statement that is something obvious about that other person, is also an easy way to engage. There was nothing threatening in what I said. I didn't see anything secret or private about them. They were wearing it on their name tags or wearing it on their ear. So it makes sense to be able to look for this connecting point, speak to it after the person's motion is slowed down. I thought, this is cool. I exercise early in the morning. I say the prayer from letter 8 and in Christ Returns Reveals Startling Truth before I get out of bed, or sometimes when I'm exercising. I repeat it as long as I'm exercising. That prayer seems to be mostly about our description of how it is to us, how divine consciousness is to us, how Father, Mother, Life is to us. But the third sentence, the line about, I know it is your will that I shall be fully illumined, that I may better receive awareness of your presence within and around me, that one seems different to me. And as I was exercising, it's like, when I engage, that's really what I want to do. When I engage with a person or a project or even exercising or doing anything, I want to receive awareness from within and around me. It's like, oh, that makes sense. That makes sense. The main reason we don't engage with people and projects, right, we procrastinate, is that we fear we don't have enough energy to successfully handle those interactions with people or the activity or whatever is required of us. But the reality is that divine consciousness and divine awareness is all around us and all within us. So it is available. That is available. It seems to me that all of life is a continuous flow of energy exchange experiences, right? Got energy coming in and got energy going out and energy coming in and energy going out. And if we didn't have that, we basically would be dead. We wouldn't exist. And in those energy exchange experiences and in engagement, we can, and not only can we, but we are actually drawing on divine energy every second of every day. However, the ego might convince us that we're all alone, it's just us, and we're limited, and it's us against the world, and it's a dog-eat-dog environment, and blah, blah, blah. With those fears in mind, and if those are loud in our heads, we're going to tend to pull back into self-protection and be less willing to engage because it's too dangerous. It's too dangerous. The ego, if it's using our past experiences, if it can convince us that engaging, that basically engaging is living life, if it can convince us that engaging is we might lose love or we might get hurt emotionally or physically or things might not turn out the way we want or we might lose our safety or we might lose our privacy, we'll be exposed. But if we listen to that stream of noise running through our heads, we're going to have a tendency to judge every single environmental signal to be about us. Everything that we see is about me. Everything that we hear or we see other people talking, it's about us. And every behavior by another person is going to be converted into a judgment about us. And it's going to scare us. And because of that, instead of engaging, we're going to become prisoners of these self-created fears, just out of the need to go into self-protection. It is a physiological thing that's going to cause us, and an ego thing that's going to cause us to self-protect in order to maintain our survival. I've met people who were so engaging that I was immediately drawn to them. And two such men come to mind. One, Reese, I met him in Bogota, Colombia with Marianne. He was her interface when she was down there doing some consulting. This guy, about 6'5", good-looking, young, energetic guy, big smile, originally from Texas. He was disarming. And I use that word disarming deliberately because any defensiveness, any fear of being in a new situation or engaging with the unknown, which of course it was going to be for me, I'm not sure Marianne had ever met him before, had spoken to him, and and boom. He was so friendly, so open, and so safe that I didn't have any choice. You know, I was kind of like defensive, at least initially, thinking I'm going to meet the stranger. That was my self-protective mode before I even laid eyes on this guy. But I had no choice but to be the same way he was. And I thought, wow, that is really, really cool. We had the same experience in a restaurant here in Naples. We were eating dinner, and the owner, a friend of ours, introduced us to somebody who turned out, after the fact, to be her financial planner. He's now our financial planner. And I was just amazed at his energy. He was there having dinner with his wife. It was so peaceful. It was so not threatening. It was so disarming. It really was. So you couldn't be defensive. You couldn't be resistant. You couldn't have any defenses up simply because his energy was so inviting, so engaging. Interesting. And in both of these cases, I could feel what was happening. And it was like there was one of me that had one point of view going in, and then there was the other me who was watching this transformation in me as I was being affected by their positive energy. And I'm like, wow, this is fascinating to me, is what I'm saying in my own head. It would have been nice, right, for each of us to have grown up in a family in which engagement was so pleasant, so frequent, that our energy fields invite engagement today. If we could be like Reese or Larry, just walk into a room and everybody immediately feels comfortable and wants to engage with us. I didn't grow up that way. Being on the defensive, waiting for the other shoe to drop, you know, seeing what's going to happen, is this threatening, is this dangerous, do I have to be on my guard? That is more like what I experienced and the tendency that I have even today. There is an alternative. We can engage. We can learn to be effective at engagement. We can learn to be wise so we know when to engage and with whom to engage. We don't want to engage with vipers, right? We wouldn't put, oh, let me touch that snake. It's like, you might want to go a little more wisely with that. And we can. We can learn that. Since we're going to engage, there's no way to avoid it. Well, yes, there is. We could be dead. Literally dead or figuratively dead. We could seal ourselves off from the flow of life. But those options are not that appealing to us. They're not desirable. We don't want that. So if we can get to the point where every project, every activity, every chore, every duty, every desire, every encounter is an opportunity to engage. Before we start today, before we get out of bed, before we start any project, we can do, you know what? I want to set myself in a position to benefit the most. And I think we can go through a half a dozen steps and benefit from this. Number one, look at that activity as an engagement. I'm going to exchange my energy with it. And you go, okay, it's an engagement. And you can imagine that we're going to engage with something. We could set our intention to do it. If we have to do it or we want to do it, we're going to set our intention to do it and set our intention to learn as we do it. We don't really want to keep doing the same thing over and over and over and over and over again by rote. There's no fun in that. It's boring. There's no growth. There's no development. We don't learn anything. And most people will resist that. So we want to learn. And then we can set our intention to enjoy the process. We could know that at the end of this engagement, we're going to be more aware than we were when we started. even though we can't know exactly how things are going to progress, you know, there are a lot of variables, some stuff we're not going to be able to control, maybe a lot of stuff we're not going to be able to control, but we still can keep our emotional balance by allowing awareness in. That's the key fact. And maybe the most important point here is that divine consciousness is within and around us. If we will simply slow down our physical movement, slow down our egoic thinking, stop it for a moment, and let ourselves receive awareness of the next step to take in our engagement, we're going to be able to stay aligned without upset or without conflict. Yesterday I had three different things that I wanted to do. And none of the three got the closure. So one thing I wanted to do is replace one of the fans in my garage. And I knew it was an engagement. I knew it. So I get up on a ladder and I open a box of stuff beforehand. I see the lay of the land. I turned off the electricity to that switch. And I'm going through this. I go back and forth, going back and forth. And I just wanted to proceed slowly. And I realized that I had bought the wrong kind of fan. I needed not a flush mount, but something that extended further away from the ceiling because of the positioning of the air conditioning in the garage. I thought, So, long story short, ultimately, after going to Lowe's and to Home Depot, they didn't have what I wanted. And Marianne, even this morning, is going to take back that fan. But I didn't get upset. I didn't have a failure. I didn't have anything. I learned, and I frequently think this to myself, and actually I verbalize it to other people. I would like to know a lot about a lot of things. I would like to know, the five things you need to know about replacing a ceiling fan. Here are two of them. The length of the blades, you need to understand that, because if there's something in the way, that's going to be a problem. And the second thing is how far off the ceiling it needs to be. If I had known that second point, I wouldn't have had any difficulty with it. But because I wasn't aware of that, I'm aware of it now. Interesting. So I didn't get upset, which, frankly, in the past, I could have been really, really annoyed at myself for having not known that fundamental. I'm not a handyman by any stretch, but I do like messing around with electricity. The other thing is I wanted to put some software on Marianne's computer, and so I battled it, and I needed to put in a hot fix to it, and I had to find it, and it's an obsolete piece of software from the company's standpoint, so I had to go back and forth a whole bunch of times until I finally succeeded at that. I didn't get the database onto her computer yet, but I finally resolved that. And then the third piece of software that I bought during the day involved stuff I don't know anything about. PHP and MySQL and Apache and other things, because it is a teleprompter software. So I'm playing around with it, and never got it to work. But because I'm thinking of this as an engagement, not a reflection of my worth as a human being, my intelligence as a man, my anything, my goodness as a being, it's just an engagement. I'm exchanging energy with this, and it's a whole different experience. My self-worth was not really on the line with any of these activities. I was growing my awareness. And I think if we can get to that point of view and recognize that these engagements with various activities are really to grow our awareness rather than to prove we're a worthy human being or we're the coolest person or fill in the blank, it is going to be so much safer for us to engage because we wouldn't risk our identity, because it's not about that. It's simply about engaging and exchanging energy and growing our awareness. That's why I think engagement is a secret that is directly related to our success. And the more we can engage, the faster we're going to accelerate that success. I'd like to end this service with a prayer. This is the pluralized version of the prayer from Letter 8 in Christ Returns, Reveals Startling Truth. You'll be able to hear that third sentence again. Father, Mother, Life, you are our life, our constant support, our health, our protection, our perfect fulfillment of every need, and our highest inspiration. If that doesn't encourage us to overcome any fears about engaging, we might need to dwell on that sentence some more. We ask you to reveal the true reality of yourself to us. We know it is your will that we shall be fully illumined, that we may better receive awareness of your presence within and around us. We believe and know that this is possible. We believe that you protect and maintain us within perfect love. We know that our eventual purpose is to express you. As we speak to you, we know that you are perfectly receptive of us, for you are universal loving intelligence, which has so marvelously designed this world and brought it into visible form. If we're about to engage with someone or something, we can ask for awareness. We know that as we ask you to speak to us, we are sending out a consciousness searchlight into your divine consciousness. And as we listen, you will be penetrating our human consciousness and coming ever closer to our increasingly receptive minds and hearts. We commit ourselves and our lives into your care. Thank you. It is so. Amen.